You've been invited to a big party, not just a party, but God's party. And it lasts a really long time. In fact, for eternity. In order to understand how this party works, Jesus told a parable. And what makes this parable amazing is when and where he told it. I come from a family which dinner table talk was the norm. Dinner would last a long time, not because eating took a long time, but because the conversation did. And here in Luke 14, this dinner conversation started in verse 1 and ends at verse 24, and the topics got intense. The conversation started with healing and proceeded all the way to the big party. At our dinner table, I learned the art of debate and how to defend your point of view over anything from politics to theology. Nothing was off limits at our family dinner table. We are Italians, so the conversations would get loud and emotional, but always ended with dessert and coffee. This Luke 14 dinner conversation with Jesus didn't end with cheesecake and coffee, but did end with an intense talk about God's final party in heaven and why people will miss it. In New Testament times, two invitations were given, usually to a party or a banquet. The first was given well in advance so that people could RSVP. Then when everything was ready for the party to begin, the host sent servants with a second invitation to tell everybody to come, for everything is now ready. You'd think that receiving such a wonderful invitation and news would cause people to stop whatever they were engaged in and go to the party, but that is not what Jesus said happened in this parable. Let me read to you from Luke 14, 16 through 24. He said to him, a man was giving a big dinner and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said, I have bought a piece of land and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused. Another one said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused. And another one said, I've married a wife and for that reason I cannot come. And the slave came back and reported that to his master. Then the head of the household became angry and said to his slave, go out at once into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And the slave said, master, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the slave, go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner. See, this invitation came at a time that something would have to be interrupted. Something great would have to be chosen over something good. We have to choose the last thing over the temporal, the great over the good, if we want to go to that final party. In the parable, Jesus said that some chose not to come because the party interfered with their business, possessions, and relationships. In each case, the excuses were legitimate, but they weren't sufficient. Legitimate, but not sufficient. The point is, if you miss God's party, it isn't because you were not invited. It's because you chose to make other things a priority over responding to Jesus. The people who were invited all began to make excuses. The definition of an excuse, that which makes an offense or a crime seem less serious or something used to justify a fault. There are countless websites for excuses for sleeping in class, sleeping at work, and even missing school and work. The following are actual notes that parents wrote to schools so that their children would be excused for their absence. Here's one. Please excuse Lisa for being absent. She was sick and I had her shot. Here's another one. Dear school, please excuse John being absent on January 28th, 29th, 30th, 31, 32, and also 33. Here's another one and a final one. Please excuse Jennifer for missing school yesterday. We forgot to get the Sunday paper off the porch, and when we found out on Monday, we thought it was still Sunday. I heard about 4 college freshmen who hung out together and were always intent on having more fun than studying for their class. These guys were always late to a certain class because they knew the professor was a pushover. They had a multitude of excuses why their assignments were not finished on time or why they hadn't shown up for class for a while. When it came time for the final exam, they were late. About the time everyone else was finishing, they showed up giggling and told the professor their car had a flat tire, so they wanted to take a makeup test later. No problem, the professor said. Have a seat in the 4 corners of the classroom, and I'll prepare a special final exam just for you 4 guys, and I'll make it easy. In fact, it'll only be one question. And since you guys haven't turned in all your assignments, I'll give you another chance. If all four of you answer this question correctly, you'll get an A. But if any of you miss it, you'll fail the class. He took a moment, wrote the question on all four exam blue books. The four guys were grinning when he handed them their books, but their smiles disappeared when they opened the test. The single question on the final exam was, which tire was flat on the car? As the professor stood between them, they realized that they were done for. They each tossed their exam books in the trash can as they walked out. Their excuses had caught up with them. Jesus said that when the second invitation was sent, they all began to make excuses. That's verse 18. The first excuse, I need to go and look at my new property. The field would be there the next day. We make desires our needs. And when we do that, our desires start to control decisions. And this will always be a train wreck. The desire to be known, to be wanted, to be loved. Our need is for God who will meet all of our desires. We should have gone to the party. The second excuse was that he just bought 5 oxen. He had something new and the novelty was exciting. Some people hear the call to serve God, to be part of a church, and they want to until something shinier and new excites them. They get a new friendship, a new hobby, a second home. God always plays second fiddle for those people. That means we are there unless something new invites our attention. And finally, the third excuse, the man just got married. At times, human affections can keep us from turning our love upon the Lord. This is not about putting marriage in a wrong priority. This is about us being careful that we are not involved in relationships that keep us from making the right God decisions in our lives. That runs the gamut. I've watched affection make men and women compromise morals and standards, making unwise future decisions, and marrying too fast without getting wisdom. Affection for people is important in second place. When people take the first priority over God choices, life is about to get real hard. When it was all said and done, desires, novelty, and affection took the place over a God invitation. God is throwing a big party, and it's going to happen really, really soon. I want to see you there. No excuses.